Welcome to 20 Minutes and 2 Beers In. I'm JD.
Hey everybody, this is Bobby.
And we're episode 166 and we're going to talk some hoops.
And speaking of talking hoops, we just took a little break so that JD could set up in the studio. He brought out, he's like playing on his phone. He's asking about the wireless password here. He knows the wireless password in the studio. He's asking about that. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, have you downloaded an app yet for the NCAA tournament? No, I'm sure I will get to it. I am. Yeah. He's like, okay. And then he's real quiet for a couple minutes. He tells a bad joke. I go get some beers. I come back in, and he's not only downloaded an app for the NCAA tournament, he now has a game playing as we're recording this right now.
Yeah.
Right in front of his face. I don't know how much attention we're going to have of JD.
You say it like it's a bad thing. I'm focused.
Well, you're focused on the game.
Well, I did point to the screen that I'm focused on the game. I'm focused on the show. We have a wonderful guest, Bob Bradovich, award-winning sports broadcaster, is on. Going to talk a little NCAA tournament. I'm excited for our music.
Yeah.
Because we have... I'm actually going to bring a little punk music this time.
Cool.
I haven't done that in a long time.
You haven't.
And we also have great beer. What do you got here?
We have the Jack Stout. It's from Wild Onion Brewing. They make our favorite pumpkin beer. They're up in Barrington, Illinois, and they make a really good stout. This is it's brewed with 5 different roasted malts. It gives it a rich mouthfeel and nuances of chocolate and espresso. 6% alcohol by volume. You can get this in their pub by the growler. You can get it at Binny's. You can get it at your local liquor store, mostly around Illinois. It's delicious beer. What do you think of this?
It is. It's really good. And the Jack Stout, I like the name. It's not as good as the Smooth Criminal Ale that Eddie Koffels had last week. We need to have him brew us some stuff.
We should have him brew us a very special, a 20 minutes and 2 beers in blend of beer. Yeah. But the Jack Stout, it was my replacement stout for St. Patty's Day, JD.
You didn't go Guinness.
I think it filled that role. I didn't go Guinness.
Whoa.
I went Wild Onion on this one.
Wow. Was this a conscious effort?
It was a conscious effort. I thought, I'm going to have a stout. Did I want to go Guinness? I saw the Jack Stout sitting right there. I said, I'm going to give it a good home. And that's what I did.
Well, it is delightful. We're going to talk NCAA tournament. When we come back, we're going to talk with Bradovich. But before we even get to Bob.
Yeah.
We're going to start music.
We're going to start with my music this week, JD. This is a band. It's kind of a punk band, too. Band is called Dads. And this is a song called Boat Rich. They released a ton of music in 2013. This was on their EP called Pretty Good. Again, the song is called Boat Rich.
Joined by Bob Bradovich. He's sports director of WQOW Television. He's the 6 and 10 p.m. sports anchor. He's also play-by-play announcer for the annual Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association high school basketball and hockey tournaments. Award-winning broadcast journalist Bob Bradovich joins us. Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing great, JD. How are you guys? How are you and Bobby doing?
We are wonderful, Bob. Thanks for coming on to talk tournament. And it's an exciting time for you Wisconsinites because the Badgers have one of the best teams they've had coming into the tournament I can remember in a long time.
Best, I think, offensively. I think this is one of the more talented teams that Bo Ryan's had. And they're capable of doing more on that end of the court. And I think the scores have proven that out. Whether they're as good defensively as some of his previous teams, I guess that remains to be seen. But they have obviously a very favorable draw in these let's call them the second and third rounds.
Oh man, that's so annoying. So annoying.
Yeah, I know. It's a matter of, it seems like the print guys get more bent out of shape than we in TV. But I think they have a very favorable draw playing in Milwaukee, and it'll be a pro Badger crowd, so it'll be like quasi home court advantage for them.
No kidding.
There's some pretty high hopes for the Wisconsin Badgers this year, no question.
Do you think that early season win over Florida set the tone for the squad?
I think it did. It's worth mentioning that Florida was not at full strength in that game. They're playing without one of their starters, but that being said, it was still a very good game, and it was a good team, and I think it showed what Wisconsin was capable of. And then they just reeled off, a nice winning streak to start that season. They hit their funk in early January, early to mid-January, once they got into the conference portion of the schedule. But they kind of righted the ship. They finished with, I think it was 8 wins out of their last 9 games. They lost that regular season finale down in Nebraska. They had a nice win over Minnesota in the Big Ten tournament before losing to a Michigan State team that is finally at full strength. So I think, again, I think a 2-seed is fair for them, and I think that they're in a good position to make a pretty good run, I would say.
What do you think it is about this team that has set them apart from the other years that Wisconsin's come in? Usually they're the ho-hum offense. People, you fall asleep watching them, you just know it's going to be a grinder of a game where it's going to be great defense. This go around, all of a sudden, it's the offense that's exciting to watch on these guys. Kaminsky's been really fun to watch every year. What is the big difference here?
I just think if they have more guys who can shoot the basketball, and I think in previous years, at times, they played an interesting offense to watch. I go back to a number of years ago when they played Duke at the Kohl Center in that ACC Big Ten Challenge, and that was about as entertaining a basketball game, if you're a purist, that I can remember watching. It's just that oftentimes they would get matchups in the NCAAs and they would run into teams that would take away a couple of their weapons, and it would kind of come down to one person. If you can think back to, maybe the Devin Harris teams or the Jordan Taylor teams, where they basically would run 25 seconds a clock and then try to ISO or do a pick and roll with somebody. And oftentimes they those shots that they would get at the end of a possession were not necessarily good ones. This year's team, I think, is able to run their stuff. They're running less swing offense, and they're doing some high pick and rolls. They're doing some other things. They're running some isolation. It's basically just open things up, and I think guys have more of a green light now.
Okay.
And as long as they can get a good shot early in a possession, guys have the green light to take it. And like I said, I think they have guys. They have the offensive guys that can, that are capable of being very, very good shooters. Ben Brust being one, get out of Mondelein, as well as Sam Decker. And the freshman Nigel Hayes has given them a nice kind of a mid-range presence. So they have those elements. And when you have a guy like Brust on the floor, and even Josh Gossard, too, is probably known more as a defensive stopper, but he can shoot the three. So you've got a couple guys who can stretch that defense. You mentioned Kaminsky, and I think he has kind of been the X factor this year, and he has really grown into his own as a scorer. And I think this is a bit of a surprise to even the hardcore Badgers fans who've been watching this team over the recent years. The fact that he could become a big-time scoring option, I think, says a lot about the way Ryan and his staff develop players that stick around in the system.
How are you seeing Ryan approach this season maybe differently than others?
I don't think it's changed a whole lot. I think the only thing that's changed is that he's given them more offensive freedom, and I think a lot of that has to do with just the personnel. And Sam Decker, being a sophomore, is arguably the most talented player that they have, and maybe has the most upside going forward. But then again, he doesn't have to carry the load himself. I think the other thing that's different is having Gossard back on the floor. He had that knee injury that kept him out of all last season, and they struggle at times. They struggle both offensively, and sometimes they struggle on the defensive end. But Gossard is the classic glue guy who can really hold a lot of things together, and I think gives them another weapon offensively, and then gives them a strong defensive presence.
Looking at paper, the Big Ten looks like they're heading in strong. Do you feel like it's going to be another one of those years where they fall off, or do you think the Big Ten could run the table in this thing?
It is really hard to say, and I've never been a big proponent of judging a league top to bottom based on NCAA performance, but you know that's the world we live in. I mean, you're kind of because that's the most visible thing out there for college basketball. And I think that brings a lot of casual fans to tuning in. I think that's where some of those perceptions are formed. But I definitely think that Michigan State, considering the way they're playing, and the way they played in the Big Ten tournament, and again the fact that they're probably at full strength and at you know the healthiest they've been, very capable of making that run. I think Michigan can make a run. I think the Badgers are capable of doing that. And I wouldn't even count out a team like Iowa that, you know, stumbled down the stretch, but they're the classic team that they get the right matchups going forward, you know, they're capable of going away. So I'll get off the fence a little bit and I'll say at least one Big Ten team makes it to the Final Four. But honestly, guys, I have yet to fill out my bracket and I don't know which one that is. So
you got to get that Warren Buffett $1 billion. You got to get that sent in.
Yeah, I got a few hours. To put that together. So once I get back to the hotel, even before I study my girls' high school basketball play-by-play charts, we're going to work on the bracket a little bit because $1 billion that could help the household budget. For
that's
sure.
Pretty good scratch.
I'd even take that $100,000 finishing in the top 1.
You'll settle for that.
Yeah, I'd settle for that. No question.
I don't really see. I don't see Wisconsin having a problem at all with American. Oregon, I think, is an interesting matchup, but I think they're going to be able to get through that fairly easily. When it comes to Creighton and Doug McBuckets, that's an interesting matchup. I think that'll be a fun game. But is that? Do you think Creighton is a challenge, or do you think it's really Arizona's got to be that team that's going to be the biggest challenge for them? If they're going to
I think Creighton's definitely a challenge, and remember these two teams played. They played in a, I think it was the San Juan Shootout, if I'm not mistaken, but they played in an early season tournament last season, and Creighton was able to win, and yeah. The Badgers had problems defending McDermott. Now, how much better a job the Badgers can do having Gosser in there and having another guy that can run at McDermott? I guess that remains to be seen. But He's by no means the only weapon that the Blue Jays have. Rogge is an excellent three-point shooter, and it's a well-coached, very, very solid team. So, yeah, that would definitely be a challenge. And you mentioned Arizona, which, you know, personnel-wise, I think has the most talent of any team in that region. Mm-hmm. Whether that talent makes it all the way through, you know, it's hard to say. Occasionally, the Badgers do very, very well playing teams that have more talent on the floor because they're just not used to having to defend for the third full 35 seconds of the shot clock.
Sure.
So sometimes Wisconsin's got a nice advantage over teams like that. And you got to remember, too, Wisconsin has already beaten Virginia this year. You mentioned they've beaten Florida. They've beaten UW-Green Bay, which won the Horizon League and was clearly the best team in that conference before Kiefer Sykes went down with an injury and they got bumped out in the tournament by Milwaukee. But the Badgers, they've got some really quality wins, and I think that's the reason for the 2 seed. So it wouldn't surprise me if the Badgers were able to make it to a Final Four. But, yeah, when it comes time for me putting my pen to paper, as much as I would love to pick with my heart, I got to pick with my head, and I think I'll probably put Arizona into the Final Four.
Okay.
Speaking of number 2 seeds, Villanova, number 2 facing Milwaukee. I know you cover them a little bit in Wisconsin. Does Milwaukee have a shot in hell at this?
They have a shot. They definitely have a shot. I think anybody has a shot. And I think we've seen over the years that a lot of times when you get into the NCAAs, especially when you're playing at a neutral site where, you know, one team doesn't have all of its fans there, you know, sometimes the atmosphere is not exactly, you know, it's not the intimidating atmosphere of like taking a team into Allen Fieldhouse down in Lawrence, Kansas or something like that, or into Cameron Indoor Stadium down at the Duke campus. Sometimes, the team that, the underdog can hang around a little bit, and then longer the game goes, the tougher it gets for the favored team. That being said, no, I don't think I don't think Milwaukee would win that game. When it comes to my bracket, I don't have them winning.
Yeah.
And it's a nice story. I mean, Rob Jeter is a former player of Bo Ryan's, played for him at UW-Platteville, and was on the Wisconsin Badgers coaching staff for a while as well. before going off on his own and becoming a head coach at UW-Milwaukee. And they've got some players. They've got some good players, but by and large, they're the mid-major type players. They're the guys that have to give you the good effort. So that would be a pretty sizable upset if the Panthers pulled that one out.
And a number of people will be listening to this after the tournament already started, but one team that intrigues me for sure is Iowa State, and both Bob and I back in the day covered Iowa State. Fred Hoiberg, we both covered him in different stages of his career, but tell me one of your favorite Fred Hoiberg moments.
This was when I was working in Mason City, Iowa, and Hoiberg, Loren Meyer, and Julius Mikulik were the big three of the Cyclones back then, and they actually came up after the end of their season to do a fundraiser at Mason City Newman High School, and sometime at halftime when the guys were just kind of putting on a show, somebody picked me up, put me on Loren Meyer's shoulders, and he took me in for a dunk, which I bricked off the back rim and got jeered at by the Newman faithful. So, I also think I had one of my three-point attempts blocked from behind by Hoiberg, who was not going to let me shoot the three. So, but it a good group. It's a nice story. You know, hometown kid makes good and comes back to the his hometown to raise his family and coach at the university where he played. And you know, with Johnny Orr passing away earlier, I think this is a team that has that
the feeling of destiny.
I think
it would
be a really nice story if they went far in the tournament, and I'm sure you'd see a lot of Johnny Orr stories coming out, and that would be a storyline going forward. But it's an interesting team, and it's interesting how Hoiberg has taken a lot of the concepts that he learned in the NBA and applies them to what he's doing at Iowa State, because they're all about mismatches. They're all about trying to exploit mismatches and trying to generate some things. They've got some guys who can shoot the ball, and they're an intriguing team, and they're certainly somebody that could, for sure get to the Sweet 16, and, if things fall their way, could get probably to an Elite Eight as well.
Bob, how much investigation have you done into my own allegations that this NCAA tournament doesn't count because there's no team from Indiana in the NCAA tournament? I don't know that this is actually an NCAA-sanctioned event.
Absolutely none. Absolutely none. Maybe Tom Crean should spend less time with Tanny Duke and more time either bringing players in or figuring out his X's and O's.
You know, IPFW, Indiana, Purdue, Fort Wayne, was actually the team in Indiana that had the most regular season wins.
Wow.
They had more than Indiana, they had more than Purdue, they had more than Butler, they had more than Notre Dame. That's sad.
It's a surprise. Yeah, exactly. And to have both Indiana and Purdue down in a given year, it's funny because on the drive to Green Bay today, I'm talking to one of my Minnesota friends who, of course, is trying to somehow spin this Gopher season into something positive. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
That's what I told him. But one of the things I told him was like, well, if the Gophers are going to make a move, this might be a good time with both Indiana and Purdue down.
Sure.
And before Collins gets things going at Northwestern, there's at least that opportunity for Richard Pitino to do some recruiting and kind of get that program in the upper half. But it's going to be tough because I think now you have to look at Wisconsin as being, a top-of-the-line Big Ten program, obviously. Michigan State has been up there. Ohio State's been up there. And Michigan, when Michigan hired John Beilein, I remember telling our weather guy at the station in Eau Claire, who's a Michigan alum, saying that's a good hire because he's won every place he's been, and he won with less than stellar talent. And if he can start pulling in good recruits to Michigan, which shouldn't be that hard given their location and their history, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. So, yeah, the state of Indiana – for people who certainly believe they invented the game and perfected the game and live and breathe the game, it's been a rough year for that state.
Wow.
And those people have to be kind of scratching their heads and wondering, what the heck's going on. Huh. Well, that's nothing a few coach firings can't fix.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe they can have those Hoosiers meetings and maybe the team can stand up and the old he goes, we go too, and, who knows. But it's a rarity. I wouldn't expect that to continue. But, it's a little strange, to be sure.
Well, we're definitely looking forward to following the bracket and see where we end up. And Bob, if you do win that billion, remember the little people.
I definitely will. And, you know, sometime we'll have to talk to hockey brackets, too, because I'm pretty psyched about those. That'll come out Sunday.
We'll have to talk a little Frozen Four.
If you want to talk Frozen Four, I tell you, Division I college hockey, that is like the most underrated sport out there.
Yeah.
Tons of fun to cover. And originally I was not a huge fan of the Big Ten Hockey Conference, but just to kind of get the extra exposure and kind of start selling this game to the more casual type fan, it's an absolute blast. It was a pretty interesting year in the Big Ten with both the Badgers and Gophers having pretty good years, and even Ohio State doing some good things. So that tournament, that conference tournament's this week, and hey, we'll know where all the teams are headed. All 16 of them are headed Sunday night.
And Bob, where can people follow you on Twitter?
Brado4@yahoo.com.
Nice.
Oh, wait a second. No, that's the wrong one. Can you tell I've been awake for about 12 hours today? Brado News 18.
Brado News 18.
If you want to email me too, go ahead. Brado News 18. You'll get more high school information from our corner of the state of Wisconsin than you ever thought possible.
Wonderful.
But it's all for the kids. The kids seem to like it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Bob, and we will definitely catch up with you again.
Sounds good, guys. You have a good one. And I held the girl closer than was safe. Take what you want from me.
I'm not afraid to turn around to see you by my side. A big thank you to Bob for joining us. If you could hear, Bob was actually in a gym working
when he
joined us. So great to talk to Bob, and he always has his pulse on what's going on in the Big Ten.
He helped me fix my brackets, JD. Because of this interview, I'm altering my final four.
If this change, we have a bet every year, folks.
We do have a bet every year.
Who won last year?
You won last
what
year.
What did I win?
You won a bottle of Cody Road by Mississippi River Distilling.
And who won the year before?
I did. I got a case of beer from you.
And I won the previous
split.
2 years.
No. I think it's okay. It's split.
We're split.
Now.
All right. Well, we have to have a wager this time, right?
Yep.
I'm saying we go for a little more Mississippi River Distilling Company.
I love that idea because I want a bottle this year.
And if I lose, I'm going to have to make Bob buy the bottle because he influenced your bracket.
He helped me fix my brackets.
Oh, man. Well, we'll do that. All right. Bet is on. I do have some music, and I'm really getting punk here with this music.
Really getting punk.
The group is I Am the Avalanche.
Okay, if this comes out and it's like emo...
No. It's not. It's very Clash-esque.
Oh my God, that's a huge statement right now. Do you realize...
Esque.
I'm going to cut off the song if this is not Clash-esque.
But it's got the feel. The song is called Two Runaways.
You play
a little longer than we should. Okay, you brought up a good point. I just meant it was more punk than I normally play. I usually play harder rock, folks.
Yes, yeah.
And many of you know, although I do go mellow every now and then, but I usually don't go this type of music. a little more punk.
That's true.
Don't
ever say Clash Like ever again.
While we're listening to it, folks, Bob just looks at me and goes, "This sounds like Blink-182. That's guitar like Blink-182.
Said, oh, this guitar riff opening up, that's AC/DC. Oh, now we're coming in bass and guitar sounding like Blink-182. I started singing a Blink-182 song to it.
In defense of myself here, this was my third choice of a song. I thought it was good.
You did go through, you agonized over your music picks
this
week.
I did. My first one was probably not appropriate, but it was a good rockin' song.
Yeah.
I just forgot the name of the group. Taylor Momsen's project.
Yeah.
The Perfect Reckless?
Something like Pretty Reckless.
Pretty Reckless. Yeah. Their new album is good, but it's not...
family friendly.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. Then I was going to play something lighter. I'm like, no, I'm going to bring this. Now I'm not going to lie. I kind of regret my decision.
Now that we know that you regret your decision, you're going to have to start off with questions.
I will start off.
Well, we will start with our music for this pack of, which we call the six pack.
Six pack of questions. We're going to bring it now. Bobby, Eminem, Skrillex, Kings of Leon are among the Lollapalooza headliners. Basically, is this festival this year going to be a dud?
You know, I like the Eminem part, but he headlined a couple years ago. Arctic Monkeys are playing, I believe.
Arctic Monkeys,
did you include
that too?
Yeah.
Arctic Monkeys were, weren't they?
A couple years ago, but they weren't a headliner.
Eminem was just here. Yeah. It's
stuff that's been done. Kings of Leon, they headlined everything a couple years ago. Right now, it doesn't have me excited.
No.
And it has EDM music people very excited, which is fine. Right. That's kind of the way it's been going. I'm not excited by those headliners, JD.
No.
JD, the play-in game. Now, Greg Doyle from CBS Sports. I'm not a huge Greg Doyle fan. Really have been. But he wrote a piece today that got some traction. About the play-in game and why it does a disservice to the teams. Says, you know, they don't have the raucous crowds that the other teams get to. There's really no media. He was pointing out he was the only media there at the end of the game. My question for you is, do we owe any teams anything for making it into the tournament? Do we owe them a big atmosphere? Do we owe them media attention? Or is this just kind of a writer that's just putting something out there the day before the tournament that everybody will forget after this weekend?
Yeah, he wants to be read, but I am, and I think you are, and I think Bob was earlier, just a fan of not having these play-in games. I think they're ridiculous, especially when, I think if you're going to do the play-in games, those are the teams that are playing in to be the 16th seed. You know, playing in on the 11th seed and 12th seed is dumb.
Yeah.
I think it's a slap to those teams. Either expand it, which I don't think they should do, or just go back to the 64. That I think the play-in is stupid and silly. Bobby, the odds of winning Warren Buffett's $1 billion in the perfect bracket contest are 1 in 7.4 billion. My question for you, Warren Buffett, the Oracle of Omaha, why is he doing this? I mean, does he need publicity? I don't think so. Why is he even doing this?
I have no idea, because everybody already makes brackets. And everybody goes through all the websites. Every website gets brackets, so everybody gets their fill. I don't know why in particular he feels the need to get... Hey, you know what people need to do this year? They need to fill out a bracket, something they've never done. No! Do that for the Frozen Four, what Bob is talking about.
Yeah, get more attention to Frozen
Four. Do it for the Frozen Four. Don't do it for the Final Four. We already fill out enough brackets as it is. JD, speaking of that, I want to know what your Final Four is.
Right now?
Yep.
Wow. Now I've got to think. I've got...
You told me it's already been done.
Louisville? I've got Wisconsin, I believe. I've got, I'm trying to remember, Iowa State. And Florida. Okay. I have Florida and Louisville in the national championship game with Florida winning.
All right.
So, and yourself?
Is that your question?
It's not my question. It's not my question.
Arizona, Florida, Michigan State, Michigan. That's my final four.
Your winner is?
I have Florida winning.
All right. Bobby, Damian Lillard of the Trailblazers is putting out a rap album. His quote says, "If my profile continues to increase, I think I can go platinum with my music. Not to knock anybody else who's done it, but I can actually rap. I have a story to tell." And he goes on and on and on. His last line was, "Shaq proved it's possible."
Shaq's never proved really anything is possible.
No. My question for you, what is the worst athlete attempt at being a musician?
Shaq was bad. Ron Artest was bad. Mm. There's been a lot of terrible musicians out there. There have been some that are doing okay. Shaq has got to be probably the all-time worst.
All right.
Do you want me to shoot it? No. Do you want me to pass it? No. Do you want me to slam? Yeah. That does not a chorus make. JD, did you hear about this and cry today? At the Masters, at Augusta, the Eisenhower tree has been removed.
Yeah.
It's no more.
It's been a while.
Famous obstacle at the Masters, at Augusta. It's always gotten great publicity. It's one of the most famous landmarks there is. I want you to create an obstacle at Augusta. What are you putting in place of the Eisenhower tree?
Is it legal to put a giant windmill?
It's your obstacle. You get to put whatever you want in there.
In place of where the Eisenhower tree was, I'm going to put, and I played this course quite a few times growing up. They had a willow tree that kind of went over the corner of the green. And depending on the pin placement, you're kind of, you know, out of luck where that is. So I'll plant a big old willow where it's at. And it's got to be big. And you know it's going to catch anything that comes to it if I cannot get a windmill on there.
Are you going to name the tree? We had the Eisenhower tree. What are you going to name your tree? Bonus question.
No, it's just going to be the Ned Flanders. So,
Flanders.
When we come back, last call, one stop away.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world.
JD, tradition is over. The Des Plaines Oasis in Illinois, which so many people stopped at almost daily, people would stop at. It's closed now here in Illinois.
You have to explain what the Des Plaines Oasis is. It's different than your normal, like, rest stop.
Sure. Well, it was on the Jane Addams Memorial Tollway. It had everything you could possibly want to eat there.
And where is it located, though? It's not on the side of the road.
No, it's over the road, right smack dab over the highway as you're driving, and you have to go off to the side. And then when you go in, there's floor-to-ceiling mirrors. You can watch all the cars driving underneath.
Windows or mirrors?
Mirrors. Oh, I'm sorry, windows.
I mean, if you want to watch yourself.
Did I say mirrors?
You said mirrors. Do you like just staring at yourself?
My apartment is a fascinating place, JD.
I don't even want to know.
So, at the Des Plaines Oasis, a 21-year-old Crystal Lake man protested the closing by handcuffing himself to the door of the Oasis. Now, Kevin Walters is the young man's name. The reason why he did it is a little bit different. Probably not something I would ever protest the closing of. But he reported that 21 years prior, his parents had been to a Phil Collins concert. And afterwards, they swung by the Oasis. And 9 months later, out Kevin Walters came.
Oh.
So he wanted to make sure the place where he was conceived.
I would want it torn down.
I was going to say, wouldn't he be there with like a bulldozer? Like, hey, we can do this a day early, guys. my parents boned here.
Wow, you went there.
I did.
Yeah. No, that's crazy. That is crazy.
Celebration of
I'm going to say he was arrested.
You know what? He was there on the news. Who knows? I'm sure when the police showed up, he probably took it. It was a little news story.
Well, that kind of goes hand in hand with my last call.
Okay.
My story deals with the March Madness. We've talked a lot about the tournament this episode. But it rolls around each year, and around this year, and we've talked about this before in the show, many men opt to have a vasectomy while watching their favorite team try to go all the way. Yeah, a major clinic in Ohio reports it performs 40 to 50 more vasectomies a month before and during the tournament. A quote said, "We do have in March typically about a 50% more vasectomies than other months. A lot of patients come in and say, I have to have this during March Madness. You have to talk to my wife about it. Tell her what my limitations are and I need to be on the couch."
Ah, there it is.
They'll even tell us to exaggerate a little bit about how long it takes to recover. Now, usual procedure, it's about 30 minutes and you need about 2 to 3 days to recover. Well, if you're laid up on the couch for a few days, you might as well get a vasectomy done. You know, there's great basketball on TV, said a 40-year-old vasectomy patient. His name's Mike LaSalle. Way to keep yourself anonymous here, Mike.
Yeah, good job, Mike.
You had all the conference championship games over the weekend. The NCAA tournament starts this week. Here's the deal. I love me some March Madness, but I'm not gonna be like, you know what I need to do? I need to go snip I can sit and watch the tournament.
And the excuse only works once, JD. Do you think Mike LaSalle, like, the year afterwards, he's like, can we do it again? Or how does this work so that I can have this off one more time?
Well, yeah. Driving through Indiana, your home state, there are billboards everywhere for vasectomy reversals. I think I figured it out.
That's why.
Reversal 1 year, get a new one the next year, reversal 1 year, and then you get to this year where there's no Indiana teams. What do you do? What do you do?
You're actually working this year.
Wow. Wow. Well, hey, it's been a fun show. A big thank you to Bob Bradovich for joining us, and we'll check in with Bob. We have to check in with him around Frozen Four time.
Sure.
But it is fun, and I'm looking forward to beating you in the tournament.
I'm looking forward to getting a bottle of whiskey from you this year, JD.
Ooh.
Very much looking forward to that. You have Iowa State in the Final Four. Come on.
I do. And number 3 seed, people are afraid of him, the way Fred Hoiberg coaches. I like him. Anyway, where can people find us?
People can find us on Twitter. Our handle is 2beersin. That's the number 2beersin. You can email the podcast 20minutes2beersin@gmail.com. There's no and in there. JD, you can also find us on Facebook. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Tell your friends.
And give us a review on iTunes, too. So, and I know we got a bunch of new listeners that are excited about the show. Love to hear what you think.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see you next week, everybody.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of regret my decision.